Okay, back to the dinim, which we started about washing for bread. The Gemara says, "Kol mezalzim benetilas yadayim, whoever is not careful." And Rashi mezalzim means you don't wash always, you're not careful how you wash. The Gemara says you come to poverty. And it's interesting, the bracha, al netilas yadayim, al is an ayin, netilas is a nun, and yadayim is a yud. So al netilas yadayim stands for ani. That means if you're not meticulous in washing for hamaytzi, so the Gemara says that you'll come eventually to the union of, God forbid, poverty. So when a person washes his hand today, it's much easier than in the olden days. Olden days, they had to draw water from their wells and from their rivers. Today, you open the faucet, you turn on the faucet, you have a lot of water. So when you wash, you have to wash like this. Number one, a little bit of part of the dinim we started. Number one, you have to make sure there's nothing on your hand. If there's any dirt, ink, band-aids, anything, or there's dirt under your nails, things like that, it could be a chatzitza. It could be a separation for netilas yadayim. So therefore, the din is, when a person washes for netilas yadayim, first thing, they have to check their hands and make sure there's nothing on it, no chatzitza. And then we learned you pick it up in the right hand, give it to the left hand, this is according to Kabbalah, and then you wash the right hand three times. Now, ideally, when you wash the hand, again, because you have to wash all the way to the wrist, if any part of that is not wet, the washing is not valid. So you have to, the best way of doing it is make a loose fist, that when you pour the water over there, because if your hand is protruding, the fingers are protruding, it's hard to pour from a glass over the whole hand at one time. So you make a loose fist that the water can get in all over the place. And you wash, the best thing is to wash at least the revius, the preferred way is a revius of water, which is 3 ounces of water every time you're pouring. That's the best way of doing it. So you wash your hands three times, and the right hand, and then our custom, and three times on the left hand. Some people wash two and two. Our custom is to wash three and three. But yeah, what? Okay, so now the question is, that's what I'm coming to now. So l'chadchila, you have to make sure that there's no chatzitza, meaning there's no separation between your hand and the skin. What happens if somebody, now sometimes there's a discoloration. From smoking, your hands can turn yellow, or sometimes even a marker can make a stain. It's nothing substantial. So the din is grade by netilas yadayim. It says you have to be the same type of chatzitza as it is for a woman going to mikveh. But lapel, they're much more makel with netilas yadayim because it's midrabanan compared to mikveh, which is biblical with the punishment of kares and everything like that. So now it says in halacha like this: if somebody is, let's say, a teacher, so they're always writing and they're always getting ink on their hands, or sometimes they're getting marker on their hands. Or if somebody's a mechanic or something like that, that their hands always get filthy black. So yeah, l'chadchila is better to clean it all off. But because they don't care about it, they don't care that it's there because that's the way they always walk around. So bidin, it's not considered a chatzitza. Like for instance, if a woman has nail polish, it's not considered a chatzitza because she wants it there. Something she wears and she wants it there. It's not a chatzitza. For mikveh, it's questionable, but for washing now for bread, we're talking about. Or if somebody has a ring, so it says if a woman always takes it off when she kneads dough, you know, losh and k-n-e-a-d, kneading dough, so then she has to remove it. But the minig is to take off the rings because it shouldn't, that could be anything on the finger. What happens if a ring doesn't come off? But they can move a little bit. So then for washing for bread, they're much more lenient that they're able to wash even with that ring on. What?
Skin is peeling.
Peeling skin is not a chatzitza. Definitely not for washing. No. Okay. It's not a problem.
But if a ring, Rabbi, is loose, you know, a ring is loose, and she's afraid because she doesn't want to take it off because she's afraid she might lose it. So she keeps it on her finger.
No, you know, really. Well, I have a story. It happened in my mother-in-law's house once. There was a... You know, women, bichlal, what if from women, girls or white women that wear rings, yes? So what do? And they go wash. So they put the rings in their mouth, you know, just to hold them. Not inside the mouth, and the, you know, to hold them with the lips. don't want to put them down. They're expensive rings. So they put them in the lips, and then they go wash, and then before they make the bracha, they take whatever. They take off, the, they hold back the rings. So there was this Baal Tshuva girl was coming to my mother-in-law's house. So one time, the girls were going to wash, so she said, the girl says to them, can I borrow one of your rings? So they were wondering, my wife or the sisters, I don't know who it was wondering, like, what does she want to borrow a ring for? She said, why do you want to borrow a ring? She said, no, because when you wash, you have to put the ring on your lips. I mean, that's what she saw. So it's about children. She didn't know anything. So what did she see? She saw that from girls, whenever they wash, put the rings in their mouth. So she thought that was the process. By the way, it's a similar story that happened. The Rebbe, when he years ago, not in the recent years, it didn't happen. But when the Rebbe finished davening, he always put his hand into his back pocket. He always put his hand into his back pocket. And there was a guy who came from Israel. He wanted a copy to the Rebbe. So he used to put his hand in his back pocket after davening. And they said to him, why are you doing it? He said, because the Rebbe did it. What he didn't know was the key to the Rebbe's room, the Rebbe kept in his back pocket. So after davening, he was going back to his room. So before he went to his room, while they were still saying the last card, the Rebbe put his hand in his pocket, took out his ring, I mean his key, to go open his door. So the guy thought that was a ritual that you're supposed to do. You're supposed to put your hand in your back pocket. I mean, it's like it's things like that. If again, the minig is to take it off. I'll be then if it's loose and you wash, it's good. What? That's what he said. So by the bracha, they, whatever they do, I don't know what they do. But you have to wash, but you don't make a bracha on the Tillis Yadayim.
Even on Shabbat?
Yeah. The bracha on the Tillis Yadayim that you say when you wash for bread is only if you're going to be eating what's called a kibbetza, which is the size of an egg, which practical halacha is 2 ounces. If you know you're going to be eating less, you have to wash, but you don't make the bracha on the Tillis Yadayim. No, you have to bench and everything, but the bracha on the Tillis Yadayim is only if you're eating a kibbetza, which is 2 ounces. Like these shalashudas rolls here, each one of them is 2 ounces.
You have to finish them, right?
But yeah, you have to finish. You can't just eat a drop and that's it. No, not for this. For benching, yeah, not for this. Okay, now, there's a very interesting thing. Normally we learned that when you make a bracha, you have to do it before you do the mitzvah. Right? Before you do lulav and esrig, you make the bracha, then you put the lulav and esrig together. You're putting on tefillin before you tie the knot, so then you make a bracha. Right? The Gemara learns out, Shmuel says you have to make a bracha, evel asiyosim means before you do the mitzvah. A lot of times it makes very simple sense, because if you put the lulav and esrig together, you already did the mitzvah. How can you make a bracha that Hashem commanded you to do the mitzvah? You're not commanded anymore. So you can't make a bracha because you already did the mitzvah. So the question is, there's a few exceptions to this. One is washing for bread. One is mikveh. Those are basically the two exceptions. Now, normally, the proper procedure would be, l'cha'era, make a bracha and then wash your hands. Right? Because then you're doing the bracha before the mitzvah, not after the mitzvah. What's the custom? The custom is you wash your hands, both hands, and then you do what's called the shvifa with a little bit of water left in the hand. You rub your hands together, and then you dry the hands. So it says in halacha like this, the rubbing the hands together and the drying is actually part of the mitzvah, because you're not allowed to eat bread with wet hands. You have to dry your hands. It's part of the mitzvah of on the Tillis Yadayim is to dry your hands, and the rubbing of the hands together is also part of the mitzvah. So it says, 1 second. Shabbos, you're right, Shabbos candles also. So now, what do you do? So because you're going to be washing your hands, you're going to mamish be washing your hands, so then it's better already to make the bracha before you finish the mitzvah, but then your hands are already clean, pure. Not clean physically, but you're pure. The same thing with a mikveh. A ged, of a person who's a goy converting, so the last process is going to mikveh, right? Now, he can't make a bracha before he goes into the mikveh, because then he's a guy still. When does he become a Jew? When he comes out of the mikveh. So then there's no choice. He can't make a bracha before, because he's a guy, a guy can't make a bracha. So when he comes out, he has no choice. He makes a bracha, and then he tevels again. And that's what women do, by the way, they, at least in the Ashkenazi communities. They tevel, they make a bracha, and then they keep teveling the amount of times, again, for the same reason, like a ged, and also they're becoming pure, and they're in still in the middle of the process. Shabbos candles, you're right, there's another thing. Shabbos candles, you can't make the bracha before you light, because once you make the bracha, you accept Shabbos. Right? So if you accept Shabbos, then you can't light the candles. So what do? You light the candles, and then you cover your eyes as if to say the candles are not here yet. I didn't light them yet. I'm not benefiting from them. Then you make the bracha, and then you uncover your eyes. As it then is considered like you did the bracha before the mitzvah. You're right. Shabbos is also an example.
How do they make a bracha?
Huh? They make a bracha in the mikveh. In those cases, yeah. Their body is covered until whatever. Yeah, because that you're supposed to make a bracha before you do the mitzvah.
I mean, women, when they go to the mikveh, same thing. They say first time.
Yeah.
The bracha.
No, they tevel, well, in Ashkenazi communities at least. They tevel and then they make the bracha and then they keep teveling. Okay. Then you make the bracha. Okay, he says here you can't. But you have to dry your hands properly after you wash for bread. And you don't dry them on your clothing. Why? Gemara says, kosher l'shikha, makes you forget your learning. If people dry your hands on their clothing, the Gemara says, kosher l'shikha, no, it brings it down also. Kosher l'shikha, it makes you forget your learning. So you have to dry your hands. In fact, when the Queen of Sheba came to Shlomo HaMelech, she wanted to test his wisdom. So one of the stories in the Medrash is that she dressed boys and girls exactly alike, a bunch of them, when there were many of the were, whatever. And same hairs, everything the same. And she told Shlomo HaMelech to tell the difference which ones are boys, which ones are girls. They were dressed exactly alike, looked exactly alike. So Shlomo HaMelech called over his servant. And basically what he told the servant was, bring everybody a basin of water. Put in front of each kid a basin of water and no towels. No towels. And then after all the kids had basins of water, Shlomo HaMelech said to them, wash your hands. So every kid put their hands in the water and washed them. But then they were looking around for towels. So half the kids dried their hands on their clothing and half the kids didn't. So Shlomo HaMelech separated the two groups and he said, the one that dried their hands and their clothing were the girls. Today wouldn't happen. With the girls and the half that dried their hands, they didn't dry their hands, were boys. And she said, why? Because girls in the old days would wear aprons. And girls, women in those days never used towels. They always wiped it on their apron that they used to wear. So he said, the girls would normally dry their clothes. So they were used to drying it on their clothing. And the boys weren't the sophisticated boys. So that's how he knew the difference between the boys and the girls. And obviously Shlomo HaMelech was right. But it says you can't dry it on your shirt or clothing because it's kosher l'shikha. Now, another very practical din. You washed one hand, and let's say you washed your right hand. The left hand, you didn't wash it. And by mistake, the left hand touched the right hand. Or somebody that didn't wash yet touched your hand. And that can happen very often. You wash both hands, and then you're handing the kfar to somebody, and they touch your hand by mistake, and they didn't wash yet. And your hands are wet. So the din is, you have to dry your hands, rewash, and make a bracha if you didn't make a bracha yet. If you already made the bracha and your hands are still wet and they touched you, then the din is you have to dry your hands, rewash them, but without a bracha. But if you didn't make the bracha yet, then the din is whether you touched your own hand, but the hand that didn't wash, or somebody else who didn't wash yet touched your hand, you have to dry your hand and rewash properly. What?
What about with Birchus Kohanim?
Birchus Kohanim is different. That's
a matter if no, no. That, didn't
no, wash no, no. That's not a problem. The only problem is washing for bread. What?
Well,
Well, we didn't get there yet. If somebody is in the middle of a meal, and they're still in the middle of the meal, and they went to the bathroom, they have to wash again without a bracha. But the whole shaila is, what do you do? Because you have to wash your hands after the bracha. You have to make a shiyotzer then. So it says in Shechon Aruch, the best thing to do is to wash your hands after the bathroom, dry them for the bathroom, and then rewash again without a bracha for bread. That's what I'm saying. You wash your hands coming out of the bathroom, you make a shiyotzer. Then you dry your hands, and say a shiyotzer. Then you wash again without a bracha. Now, what happens if it's at the end of the meal already, you're not planning to eat any more bread? Right? It's already dessert. You're not eating any more bread. So then you don't have to wash again. The only reason you have to wash again is because you're going to be eating more bread. But if you're not going to be eating bread, then you don't have to. Okay, we continue. Machachinus and a mezzo mechabeba mine kinsula gal tato.